Okay, let's open in prayer first. Father, thank you for being with us this day and giving us your word and your salvation in Christ. And we ask now that you'd speak to our hearts as we come here before you and with each other to learn of your word and your will for us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we're going to revisit the book of Ephesians. John, I've got the King James, so we stay on target pretty good today.
Yes.
Why don't you take chapter one?
Okay. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. See, he states the Trinity right off the bat. Anyway, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. I'm going to stop.
Okay.
Isn't that an answer to what we were talking about last week when you were asking the question, what is God's intention in saving people?
Yeah. It's very
And
much
it says
part,
right
I think
there,
this whole book is very much part of it, part of the answering.
says if we there's a lot in here that we should probably
Yeah,
unpack.
I think so.
That as redeemed children, we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And we also learned that we were chosen in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love. And he predestined us to adoption so that we could be, well,
Yeah,
I
there's
don't
that.
know how to put it.
In fact, the verse that I mentioned last time week was this bringing many sons to glory, I think is the phrase. And I don't know if that's anything. In fact, I want to find out where that phrase is, because it may be in Ephesians for all I know. This is a difficult.
It's in Hebrews.
Oh, it is in Hebrews. You know what the reference is?
2:10.
Oh, you have it. Okay. You're really good at that. I should just ask you from now
Oh,
on.
thank you.
It always takes me forever. Hebrews 2:10, all the right in the beginning. For we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. So, but I think there was another verse I was thinking of too, where was talking about him looking on his seed.
Oh, right. That's in the Psalms, I think, right? That Christ shall see the, I know what you mean. He shall see the.
We should look at that verse too, because I think they're both. See if you can find that one. Well, I'll try it while I'm at it too. Look and see. Okay. No. I'm not getting it. Okay, we'll try it this one. Ooh, you think it's in Psalms? There's a, I just look. Could be.
It's not Isaiah 53.
Why not? Yes.
where it says, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall
Yeah.
prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand."
And which verse is that?
53:10, Isaiah.
10, 53:10. Yeah. He shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand.
But I think I know what verse you're talking
I
about.
think it's quoted, that is quoted, not, of course, for in the New Testament. And that's, I want to see if I can find that same idea in the New Testament.
You know, as an aside,
What?
I said, as an aside, I always like when Paul says to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, I don't like how Catholicism has taken that word and only applied it to people who they deem to be super Christians, you know,
I know.
Mother Teresa. It's like, oh, she was made a saint. It's like, so there's all of us, and then if you're really, really special, then you can get the title of saint. But I'm not going to call you a saint, and that's not true. Every single believer is a saint.
No,
Just people who have done extraordinary things.
well, I think that's part of the flaw in designating a clergy and a laity, so to speak. It's not the same thing, I mean, but it's similar in that what you're doing is telling those who believe in Christ, don't worry about the fact that you have sins in your life that you can't overcome, or you have a lack of faith, because that's only expected of the people who are really special. They're the saints. You're saved,
But you're
but
just waiting.
you got to expect that you're not going to be as holy as the other people.
You're going to get to heaven, but you're going to just barely get in.
Well, I don't know, but you'll get there, but you're not going to, your calling isn't as high as these other people's. But I think Paul's saying, no, everybody's called to, in fact, he uses that term, called to be saints.
Right.
That's the calling. You may not be living a holy life, but it's not a good thing. It's not a normal thing.
Well, should I continue with this?
Yeah, go
It's
ahead.
to the question as to why does God save anybody? I think as he continues,
Yeah, let's see.
as he says, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which is why he made us accepted in the beloved. I think that's the answer.
Right. Where anything made, okay. In
Should
whom we have
I?
redemption through
Well,
his, go on, yeah.
yeah. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and of your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he will put all things under his feet and gave him to be head for all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all.
I think in summary, what Paul is saying is there's a lot that what God has given us is a lot greater than we may even be aware of. I mean, if I could, and certainly I think he's trying to bring out to the saints in Ephesus what the greatness of the salvation that they have is and what's all involved in it. Let's try to go back over some of these verses right from the beginning. He's saying Paul that he's an apostle or a sent one of Jesus Christ by the will of God. He's writing to the ones that God has sanctified in Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus. He's praying for them to have grace and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He's blessing God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly place, in the heavenlies, I guess is how it is in the original Greek, in Christ. So the blessings of God that we receive are in Christ. That's the first thing that he's establishing. Because that's part of God's plan, as we're going to see later, that all things would be summed up in Christ, and that he'd be the vehicle that dispenses God's grace to all the whole universe. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love.
That's Carmen, if you're ever asked again in the future when you were saved, there you go, from before the foundation of the world.
Well,
Since
actually, I don't know if that's true. Does it say that you were saved before the foundation of the world? It says you were chosen before the foundation of the world.
and you're saying that you're not saved until you
Well,
make
in order to be
confession
saved, in order to be saved, you
of
have to be
that.
saved from something, right?
Right.
So the question then is, when was that salvation effected? You could say on the cross.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're saying, that the elect are chosen from before the foundation of the world, but the actual day of salvation might not be obviously until a future date.
Yeah, I mean, you could take the children of Israel, for instance. It was God's plan from the beginning to deliver them from Pharaoh and bring them into the new land. God told Abraham that your descendants are going to be captive in Egypt for 200 and some years, and then I'm going to bring them out. This was revealed beforehand, so it was certainly his plan. If not from the foundation of the world, long before the event occurred. They then were subject to the slavery in Egypt, and they were saved from it when Moses led them out of Egypt. That's all I'm saying. So I think it's a difficult question to say when we're saved in that sense. I know most people, when the question is asked, when were you saved? What that people really mean is, when did you receive the salvation that Christ effected on the
I
cross?
know, and I'm arguing that
That's not
that's not your
true.
day of salvation either.
No, well, in some ways it goes back to the cross, and in some ways, I know what you're saying, in terms of the plan of God, it goes back to eternity.
Right. I mean, it's I don't think that we can say, oh, it was July 2nd, 1993, that when I accepted Christ, that I became saved. But I don't think that that's true.
No, I don't think it is either. First of all, because there's other verses that imply we're being saved, and where Paul says, "Work out your own salvation, for it's Christ that worketh in you, both to will and to do of, His good pleasure, for it's God that worketh in you," I think. So there's this work of God that's going on in us now that is part of our salvation. Even though the salvation was planned from before the foundation of the world, and even though the salvation was effected on the cross, and yet it's going on now, and it will ultimately be culminated in what Paul describes as the redemption of the body, or the redemption of the purchased possession. So it's a long, but I, you know, people, what I think more normally would have happened in the old days is a person would have heard the gospel, he would have assented to it and decided that, yes, I want to submit to God's Christ, and then he would be baptized. I think the wonderful thing about baptism is it resolves that uncertainty that people have. Well, have I made a decision or not? And say, well, I don't have to worry about, I know I was baptized. Now, this is assuming it's a volitional thing. The problem is when it's done, when you're baptized as a child, you don't even remember it.
Right.
But at least we have that we can look back to and say, well, I knew what I was doing then. I knew it was a conscious decision. So at least you have that you can look back to. But the real thing is, if you can say now in your heart that Jesus is your Lord, and if anyone confesses that, Jesus, then you're saved, right? In that sense. Unless you've changed your mind and you're rejecting Christ, if you still believe in him and what he did for you, then that answers the question. So where are we?
Foundation of the world, that we should be holy.
Yeah. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. Yeah. It's this bringing many sons to glory that we were reading about in Hebrews. That was part of God's eternal plan, that he would not just he all of us would be children in Christ, and Christ would be God, is God's son. So we're adopted in Christ into the family of God. And this is to the praise of the glory of his grace. So that's how God is glorified. He's glorified by the fact that his grace is manifested in the act of redemption. When he's talking in verse 10 about the dispensation of the fullness of times, now there again, you're going into something that's in the future. I would assume that he might gather together in one all things in Christ. Because there's that verse, I think it's in, where is it, where Paul, or where Paul says, but we see not yet all things subject unto him.
Come out, we see through a glass darkly.
All things. Let me just see something. I can find this.
I think that the dispensation means that Christ's plan of salvation has taken different forms throughout history.
Okay.
And the Old Testament saints had a limited view, but and then the New Testament saints also had a partial view, but we have a full view because we see, like Abe, as Christ said, Abraham longed to see his day. So does that make sense what I'm saying?
How does that relate to this verse?
Well, we're talking about the dispensation of the fullness of the times.
Okay, so what is the dispensation of the fullness of times?
Well, that's what I was saying, is that now that we know Christ and his and the cross and the plan of redemption, it's a fuller understanding as opposed to, let's say, the Old Testament understanding of salvation. But I don't know. That's all.
No, okay. Well, I'm not, I don't think that's wrong. I think it's when he says the dispensation, that's a strange.
Commentary says that the word refers to God's administration or arrangement of history to fulfill his plan of salvation. While God never changes, his plan for the salvation of humanity has distinct phases.
Yes.
So,
And this, so he, but I think he is talking about a future time when all
oh, and
things in
right.
will be brought on, into him. Because I'm thinking of Hebrews 2:8, where it says, thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. But we see Jesus was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory to make captain of the salvation perfect through suffering. This is very similar to what's being said here. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church, I will sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. Again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself that suffered being tempted, he's able to succor them that are tempted. Okay. I just thought, how in here in Hebrews it talks about this fact that even though it's all things, it says that all things are put under him. Right now, we don't see that, but we will see that in the future. I think that's also clear in 1 John, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. This is part of the hope.
What I like is in 11, it says, in him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. That's very comforting. When you can look at the chaos of your life and all the crazy circumstances and things, and think that it's just a meaningless result of your poor judgment. Yet, from a different perspective, you can see that all things, he's working all things according to the counsel of his will.
And his will in verse 12 that we should be to the praise of his glory. What does that mean? Who first trust? Oh, we who first trusted in Christ. I see. That's strange construction. That I think it's parenthetical that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory, in whom ye also trusted. So he's after that ye heard the word of truth. Now here's a verse that implies the salvation took place earlier. In whom ye also trusted, after that the word of truth. After you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. So the salvation had already occurred, but
That's a good point. You just
you
weren't aware of
received it. You received it once you heard the word, in whom also after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That sealing is also I think, a good thing to
Absolutely. I love that. The commentary actually says that too. It said the seal or mark of ownership in believers' lives is the Holy Spirit.
Yes, absolutely. Says that over and over again. Because that is the earnest of the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession.
I like that because that's so interesting how Revelation talks about people being sealed, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
And our seal is the Holy Spirit.
That's good. I think that's
This
also.
is interesting where it says, I'm sorry, Dad, what were we going to say?
No, go on. Go on.
No, as it goes on into verse 14, where it says, so 13, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, and 14, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. The commentary says here that in regards to the guarantee of our inheritance is the Holy Spirit himself. But interestingly, the Greek word for guarantee can also be used to indicate an engagement ring. As Christ is the bridegroom and his church is the bride,
I
so the
see.
Holy Spirit is the down payment, the earnest money in the long-awaited marriage of the two. And this
Yes,
is
bride
Revelation
price for the
19:17,
yeah.
19:7, which talks about the marriage. That's what
Yeah.
Revelation is. That's why, if I'm correct, you know, when people get married, the woman has the veil and then she lifts up the veil. It's an unveiling. That's what Revelation is. It's a lifting of the veil, which is symbolized in
Yeah,
that
that's
act of
interesting.
lifting the veil.
That's an interesting observation, John. So Paul's seeing that they have believed, and ever since then he's been giving thanks, praying for them. that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you unto you the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and the knowledge of him. There's a the spirit, this down payment that we have been given, I guess it, you could say, contains things that we can realize in this lifetime, right now, like wisdom, and revelation and knowledge of him, so that we may know what the hope of our calling is, what the riches
Well, yeah, I mean, again,
of our
back
inheritance
to
are,
even
and
back
his
to
inheritance.
verse 3, where it says, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, it seems to suggest that, and the commentary is good on this too. It says that the phrase in the heavenly places suggests that a Christian living anywhere in the world is even now, in a spiritual sense, seated with Christ on high.
That's what, and then what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power? Which he wrought in Christ when he
Why not?
raised him from then, set him in his at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Yeah.
Which verse are you on right now?
That was on verse 20.
Oh, okay. Right.
In fact, let me see something here. Okay. Okay. And then in 22, it talks about Christ being the head of the church, head of all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth it all. So the church is likened unto Christ's body, and also, of course, as you were pointing out, the bride.
I like that it says that verse too, where it says to be head over all things to the church, which is its body. In other words, it doesn't say over the church, which is a physical building.
No, that's true. Yeah, that's good.
I like that we, I, this is something I wanted to mention too, going forward. With these Bible studies, that we should take a more slower approach and really try to get things out of it instead of just trying to rush through and say, I like that. I think there's a lot more in these things that we can extract.
Well, that's good. And knowing now we're going to revisit Ephesians, we can, I think, be prepared a little better before we have the next conversation, and maybe we can
Yeah.
do it a little better than we did it this time, even.
Although I think we did really, really good
Not
with
bad. Yeah.
chapter one.
This chapter one, yeah, it's there's a lot in this book. We're very compactly written.
Should we stop for this
Yeah,
week?
let's stop since it's already 6, and I'll stop the recording.